Feliz Navidad, baby! It's day 11 of the 12 days of Christmas. Come on, Mark, sing along.
No, I don't want to.
Why not?
No, it's this weird polka version of Feliz Navidad. You know I don't care for it.
You're right, and I'm sorry. Let me just get rid of that, and you're right.
I know what you're
because
do.
This is
you're
the last day
worse.
Of the 12 days of Christmas. Yeah, here, feels good, feels right. Friends, it's day 11. It's one of our last 12 days of Christmas before we get into our Christmas Eve pod.
I love day 11, one of our last.
One of our last. There's some more coming. And it's an exciting one. We got some fun stuff going on today. Not only is there Jingle Dogs, but we're being joined by a special guest. Have we ever had a guest on a 12 Days of Christmas? I don't think we have.
Never. We've never done
this. This is a first right here on the podcast. And we are joined by Matt Yipchuk from Teacup for One, the YouTube channel, and also at Matt Yipchuk. Am I saying your Instagram wrong? Matt, jump in. What's your Instagram? Give us a shout out.
Instagram is just at my last name. It's at Yipchuk, Y-I-P-C-H-U-C-K. It's too late to change it to at Teacup for One. I already have a brand.
Matt Fair is enough. Here hanging out with us today because we're talking about something really important. But before we get into it, I want to talk a little bit about what Matt's got going on because he's been doing a really cool series on Teacup for One. I thought, Matt, you could talk about it a little bit. It is very cool. Jump in.
Oh, thank you. So yeah, normally on Teacup for One, well, there's really no consistency to the types of videos I do. I just do videos that I want to do at any given time, but those are usually pertaining to Disney or theme parks like I've talked about before, or sometimes Shakespeare. But this time for Christmas, I wanted to do something extra special. So I decided to make a full-out legit web series, like a mini movie. And it's an adaptation of A Christmas Carol, the Charles Dickens classic ghost story. And the whole pitch that I like to use is that it's like Charles Dickens meets Black Mirror. So the whole concept is that Scrooge is being haunted by the ghosts and they're like manifesting themselves through technology in different ways. So they'll either like show up on his computer screen or they'll phone him or he'll get text messages or they'll like show up on his TV and all the memories come to him through his computer screen. And like, he's just being shown things periodically.
Weird.
And yeah, it's so much fun. Like, I shot the entire thing in isolation, which was a challenge but worked really well with the format. And what I just really love about it is it gave me a chance to just focus on dialogue more than anything, because it's just a guy basically talking to people on his computer and watching them very creepily and voyeuristically. So that meant that I could just
I feel like that's
a lot of it.
That's a theme for a lot of entertainment options in the last 8 months.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. Like, how can you Zoom? How many different ways can you Zoom?
Yeah, yeah. How many unique ways can we watch somebody in front of a computer? Let's do it. Yeah.
And I'd like to think that this is the first time someone's done a haunted Zoom, but I could be wrong. But yeah, the thing that I like is that it just meant that I actually read the book for the first time in my life.
Oh,
like, wow. I'm a Christmas Carol aficionado. I've seen all the movies. I love it. But this is the first time sitting down and reading the text. So I like took chunks that I've never heard before that were hilarious. Because apparently Charles Dickens was a very good writer.
Yeah, right?
That's what people say.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Full disclosure, I have not watched it yet, but I keep seeing it. It keeps coming up on my feed, and I'm like, I got to watch that. So I'm going to check it out, and then maybe we can review it right here on the We Like Theme Parks podcast.
Ooh, do it.
Yeah?
I love it.
And that's because that's what we're all about today. We're actually doing another Christmas review. We did one last year. We did Noel. And this year, the Christmas review is for Godmothered, the new film on Disney Plus featuring Jillian Bell and a bunch of other people. And we're going to break it down a little bit. And we thought we'd bring on Matt because Matt apparently likes this movie. So we thought, hey, let's get him on here and defend this bad boy. Because, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was okay. Guys, is this a spoiler-free episode? I don't think so.
No. Yeah. No. Let's spoil it. If you're listening to this at home right now and you have not seen Godmothered and you don't want it spoiled for you, turn it off. Go watch Godmothered. Come back.
Come back, yeah.
Enjoy Chris crap all over the movie that you've worked on.
If you listen to it now, it might save you a watching. So, but you know, if you do want to watch it first, please do, because it's spoiler time. Let's talk about what this film is about. Matt, why don't you tell us? You're an actor type. Yeah, let's throw Matt under the bus. Matt, why don't
Way
you
to
give
throw
us
throw Matt
you
know, under the bus?
Hey man, Matt is prepared. I know he's been known about doing this pod for weeks. He's watched it thoroughly. He took lots of notes. So Matt's going to give us a little synopsis of Godmothered.
Yeah, absolutely. So Godmothered is about fairy godmother in training whose name is Jillian Bell, masquerading as Eleanor. Eleanor is a fairy godmother in training. She is the youngest, most naive fairy godmother. So basically, like, when the movie opens, we meet her in godmother school with all these other godmothers that are like centuries old, but like she's a young spring chicken, and mm-hmm. she wants more than anything to be a fairy godmother, but they're gonna close down the godmothering program because normal humans don't believe in magic anymore, which is a common theme mm-hmm. with Christmas films, but not a common theme in Christmas films pertaining to godmothers. So point one there. Mm-hmm. And so she goes against her boss, played by the incomparable Jane Curtin of mm-hmm. SNL and Third Rock from the Sun, Glory.
Conehead.
And yeah, oh yeah, and she was in that too. Mm-hmm. And she's hilarious and great. So Eleanor comes to Earth to find the one person who is left on the godmother's roster of human assignments. And it's a woman named Mackenzie Walsh, who wrote to the godmothers, because apparently you can do that, which mm-hmm. I wasn't aware of.
It's like sending a letter to Santa, yeah.
She was a kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she said that she, I think, wanted a boy in her class to like her or something. She made a wish that it was in no way relevant to her adult life, and it wasn't granted, and she's very unhappy as an adult. So the movie is about Eleanor connecting with Mackenzie and trying to give Mackenzie her happily ever after, which Mackenzie's very reluctant towards because she's disillusioned by life, because she's had some personal tragedies in losing her husband and having to raise her two daughters. And Eleanor very waywardly helps them find their happily ever after, which isn't necessarily the one that any of them expected, but is still, it's not what they wanted, but it's what they needed. It's very Christmassy and heartwarming.
May I jump in for a moment? Did I not pick the right person to give a synopsis of this film? Yes. You're welcome. You're welcome. Yes. All right. Thanks. Matt, that was great. That was
awesome. It was actually perfect.
See?
We'll just have you come on and give the synopsis of all the films.
What's this movie about? I don't know. Yep. Call Yip Chuck. I don't know. He'll tell us.
I have 2 degrees.
Big smile. Big smile on the man's face while he says that. Yeah, yeah.
So here's this film. Let me ask a question to start before we kind of pick apart the movie. Is this a Christmas movie? Because I think...
Yes.
Is it though?
Barely.
It's barely a Christmas movie. You see a tree a couple times.
Well, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yum. No. Yeah.
Is Batman Returns a Christmas movie?
No.
Also, oh, no.
I'm always of the philosophy that if it takes place at Christmas, you can consider it a Christmas movie. Beyond that, same. I think a Christmas movie is defined by certain themes. Mm-hmm. And all of those themes are very present in this about appreciation and learning to re-love certain elements about your life that you might have lost touch with, and then reconnecting with family members and loved ones. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like a pertinent Christmas movie theme, which definitely this film revolves around. And beyond that, there's just a lot of Christmas stuff. Like the whole climax happens at a Christmas concert, and that's like the main thing that the whole movie's building towards.
Right, but if you took those the 2 times you saw Christmas trees out and just made that the any concert. There's no need for Christmas.
No,
right?
No. You the same theme. Argument. No. The same argument can be made for Die Hard. Then take Christmas and Hollis by Run DMC off the soundtrack. No, take away Let It Snow off the end, and take away the Christmas tree at the party. That party could just be any party. That could be their annual general meeting. That could be could be a New Year's Eve party.
There isn't a bigger jam at the Nakamori Tower than the Christmas jam. You and I both know this. Yeah.
And there's no bigger concert in Boston than the Christmas concert put on by the high school after the parade. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
It's true. No, the movie could definitely survive without Christmas, but I would actually legitimately compare it to Die Hard, where Christmas enhances it mm-hmm. and makes it better. Because without the Christmas element, it's not great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm speaking for Die Hard as well. The story is just okay.
What? Whoa.
Yeah, I stand.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. You're like opening up a can of worms. Let's focus on Godmother.
Okay. All right. Let's talk more about Die Hard.
No. All right. So everyone here feels it's a Christmas movie but me. Is that correct?
I agreed with you.
Oh, thank you, Miriam. Okay. 50-50. Love it.
You know what? I'll say this though. Miriam agreed with you, but she doesn't seem like she wants to.
Okay.
I mean, I agreed with you.
Let's take a step into this movie. So what is interesting about this movie is there's not a lot of movie about godmothers, to be honest. There might be a godmother that enhances someone else's story, but not necessarily a movie about godmothers, which I thought was kind of cool, kind of refreshing. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, I don't want to jump completely to the end, But the godmother, it gets in her own way and creates her own mess. And I like that. She's imperfect and she messes up. And this kind of, and this is really her story and she has to overcome. But with that all said, this is supposed to be light, fun, comedic holiday fare. And I felt, if I'm just going to glaze over this thing, that if you took like a Hallmark movie, which is kind of what you get at Christmas, like this flood, this wave of Hallmark flicks.
I love right? them.
You, maybe you do. I know your mom does. I know you and your mom love watching those together.
Yeah.
My mom loves them too. Believe me. She even tapes them. Oh, I can't come out tonight, Christopher. I've got three movies to watch. I'm like, what? What are you doing? Awesome.
So does she still have a VCR? She's taping them with
she got a PVR. PVR, you know.
Oh, okay. I was hoping for the old technology.
She doesn't know how to just like use the on-demand stuff. She records them individually. She's nice. Anyway, love you, Ma. So, but now I've lost my train of thought. What was I talking about, Mark?
You were saying that Godmothered is excellent. It's a high quality. No. That if theaters were open, this would have been a blockbuster.
Okay, here I remember now. So okay. With these Hallmark flicks, I mean, I think we could just call them adequate or mediocre. They're fine. Like none of them are getting Oscar noms for writing or anything. All right. Mm-hmm. They're just, it's just content and a lot of it. I feel like this movie is somewhere in between a good movie and a Hallmark movie. It's not good enough to be a good movie, but it's better than a Hallmark movie. So does that make it worth the view on Disney Plus?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. It does. Did you find this movie funny?
Yes.
Really? Yes.
I laughed a bunch at this movie. Edith made me laugh every time. Edith, am I getting her name right? Agnes. Sorry.
Eleanor?
Agnes made me laugh every time. Right away, off the hop, when this movie started and Susan from Sesame Street was one of the godmothers in that scene, mm-hmm. I was in. I was like, Susan, Susan's here. This is going to be fine. We're going to be fine. And as I watched it, Chris, I knew you didn't like it. And as I watched it, I'm like, what did Chris not like about this? Mm. What is going on in Chris's cold, dark heart that he didn't enjoy this? You aren't going to get a lump of coal for Christmas because you are a lump of coal for Christmas.
Ouch.
That's what's happening here. If you didn't enjoy this movie, what a nice time. What a pleasant, nice movie.
Okay, Mary, so this is another Disney fish out of water, enchanted style, Noel style movie where
we take
magical person and put them in reality and it's not so magical, right?
Wow.
They're making people have to believe in something they never believed in, same trope. Mm-hmm. Take somebody's life who's down in the dumps and reinvent the wheel, but then they find that they always had it deep in their own selves and didn't even really need the godmother or the person to help them. They just needed to believe in themselves. That's the real magic. Same. Seen this story before. I just felt like it's also the movie looked cheap. Everything looked really cheap about this movie. And the story felt reused.
They spent training that raccoon.
The raccoon was animated. Come on.
Yuri the raccoon.
The money went towards making him look that realistic.
You know what? You're right, Matt. All the money went to CGI Gary and none went to the writers to write some really good jokes.
What about Agnes and the clock? Agnes. Yeah. FaceTime. That was a great joke. Thank you very much. Agnes's face appears in a clock and she calls it FaceTime. I mean, come on.
Great. She was my favorite part of the whole movie. Her and that raccoon were the best.
And Jane Curtin. Jane Curtin was awesome.
Jane
Curtin's always awesome.
Yeah.
I also liked her bed. All those mattresses. Mattresses were cozy.
Agnes as the resident DJ off the top at the beginning. She's like, I'm the DJ. And it's like, this old lady's the DJ. Amazing. I love it.
That was a good choice.
Also, can we talk more about that opening scene with Maria from Sesame Street? Jane Curtin at one point, I think it's Jane Curtin that says, you need 40 to 50 years of training to be a godmother, to do the magic properly. Can somebody just clarify for me, because I am not a big Harry Potter, like I like Harry Potter, but I can't remember. How long did Harry Potter go to school to become the wizard?
Seven years. Wizards are different.
But he really only went six.
I understand that wizards are different than fairies, but there just seems like a large discrepancy between 7 years and 40 to 50.
I think the difference is wizards are just living their lives. Godmothers and fairies are facilitating wishes for muggles, you know? Right. They got to get that right.
And also, I think it's kind of a sneaky move because the trope is that it's an older lady, usually, is your fairy godmother, right? Mm-hmm. Now you know why. because they need 50 years of training. I thought that was kind of smart.
I liked it.
I thought the convention that there was a motherland that lived somewhere.
That made me laugh.
I thought that was kind of fun. That the what creates the stakes wasn't really well explored. It was just assumed. It was just like, well, people don't believe in us anymore, so we're screwed. I want to see them in peril before they get thrust off to the adventure. They get in the classroom and you just have these other fairy godmothers rolling their eyes because they're like, it doesn't even matter because people don't care about us anymore. Right. So this is all moot.
This movie was already an hour and a half. We can't spend. Yeah.
I want story, man. I want stakes. I want high stakes, right? And it wasn't there. It was just like, yeah, it's cool.
The stakes were high. It was her last chance to do the job that she spent her entire life wanting. Otherwise, she'd be doomed to be a tooth fairy.
Ultimate stakes.
Sounds like tooth fairy wasn't a bad gig.
She also saved all of the motherland.
Yes.
I realize she did, but what I'm saying is you got to create stakes, and then there's a catalyst, right? Something's got to happen. And there wasn't enough stakes. It was just kind of like the stakes were implied. We didn't see them. It's show, don't tell, right?
If it were me, I'm not touching any dirty teeth like as a tooth fairy. So those stakes felt pretty high.
See, that would be funny if you saw her like, oh, he was like, why don't I take a shift as a tooth fairy? This stinks. No way I'm doing this. Wouldn't that have been funny? I'm just saying, you got to create some stakes.
This movie was plenty funny as it was. The singing gag that it was.
Yeah, that's funny.
As soon as it started and she started to sing, I was like, oh no, what is happening? And she can't, is running gag that she can't sing. Yeah. And it's like, when she started doing it, I was like, oh, is this going to be a musical? Oh no, it's not. It's such a great gag that she can't sing, but she wants to sing all the time.
Yeah.
Also, for my own personal life, very relatable.
Right,
I sing all the time as well, and also cannot sing.
You can sing, Mark. Don't say that.
I've
put you in musicals, man. I hope you didn't screw up. Okay, so we know this much about it, that she gets thrusted into reality. It's Jillian Bell, if you don't know Jillian Bell. Didn't we just dreamcast her in something, Miriam?
Yes, we made her Madam Mim.
That's so right.
Not too far off.
Make
her a little bit snarky.
Yeah.
There you go.
I thought this was a really interesting turn for Jillian Bell. I feel like what I've seen her in the most is a more sarcastic, kind of rough, around the edges, mean girl a little bit, but really funny. And to totally flip the convention and have her be like bright and sparkly with everything, I thought was great. I thought she did a great job. I think that the little goofs that they had were quite good, like the ideas. I just didn't care for the execution. I thought that the writing was kind of ho-hum.
Right.
What do we feel about Ilsa Fisher? Is it Isla?
Isla.
No, I'm saying her name wrong. Yeah. Isla Fisher. She plays Mackenzie. She is the last remaining assignment back in Motherland and the last hope and to get people believing in magic and believing in godmothers. Did you feel connected to her plight? Was she at all likable? And do you feel that she actually got the happily ever after she deserved?
Yes, absolutely.
But also what they clarify in the movie that it's not, I mean, again, if you're listening to this and you haven't turned it off and you are afraid of spoilers,
yeah.
It's not a happily ever after. It's a happily. Like getting to happy. I thought it was such a nice message that it's not, you know, the idea that, you know, you're achieving some sort of grand happily ever after forever. It's like, no, it's a state of being, and we're going for happy now. I thought it was nice. I thought it was great. And yes,
you're gonna go up and down, and sometimes it'll be happily, and then sometimes not. It's not always an ever after.
Yeah. And that idea is sort of like them sort of, you know, absolving people of that. That's great. And Isla Fisher, going to your question, Chris, about Isla Fisher, I thought this whole cast top to bottom was fantastic.
Really?
There was not a weak link in this chain. Like Isla Fisher was great. Jillian Bell was great. I thought the two daughters, particularly that little redhead.
She's adorable.
I looked her up. Her name was Willa Skye. This kid's face is my favorite thing in all of 2020, I think. Like, what? And I mean, that's fair enough. That's a low bar. 2020 hasn't been great. But Willa Skye's face, what a great face. She makes all these amazing faces. And it's like her face is made out of Play-Doh or plasticine or something. Mm-hmm. She's great. I'm honestly waving a flag for Willa Skye. She's the best.
Okay. Speaking of her face, can I throw this in there, Mark?
Yes.
Let's talk about the scene where it's the next morning after Eleanor has spent the night in the basement at Mackenzie's house. Yes. And Mackenzie wakes up and Eleanor has redone her living room to make it more Game of Thrones, as Mackenzie calls it. And it's all very castle-y and medieval. And has, you know, now showed this raccoon, Gary. It was kind of the big hit of the film, who is the kind of woodland servant, but he's not the best. Essentially Mackenzie's, I believe it's her sister, right? Is that her sister that lives with her?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Her sister and her two kids walk in. Did they seem kind of mystified by this magic, or did they just kind of roll with the punches? Because it all felt very like, okay, I guess you're a godmother.
Wouldn't you believe if your whole house was now medieval times like that?
I just think my jaw would be...
I'd have to be convinced that she was a godmother if my dog was turned into a pig, there was a lifelike raccoon sweeping the floor, and the whole thing was a castle. I'd be like, yeah, this seems like you're a godmother.
I just didn't feel like they sold it. I felt it was just like, oh my God, the house is like a castle. Oh, there's a raccoon.
You have to go back, Chris, and watch it again.
This is like a raccoon. I guess her godmother. Yeah. Can you give us stuff? You know, there wasn't like that. Holy. Oh, I don't know. I didn't buy it. I thought it was
I like the iPad gag. I thought that was a great gag. If you're magic, can I have an iPad? And she gives her an eye patch. Great bit. Loved that bit. Had a good laugh.
That was cute. That was
I thought Willis Guy sold it. I thought absolutely she sold it. Her look of surprise when she walked in the room. You got to go back and watch.
Yeah, dude, she's the only one. She's the only one. The other sister.
Oh, no, I love the aunt.
What's that?
I love the aunt. You're crazy.
I thought the aunt was just like, what's going on, guys? What happened to your house, Aunt Paula?
She's the best.
It's a castle all of a sudden. What's going on? Oh, you're a godmother? Whoa.
You know what? Yeah. I think you need a godmother to open up your heart to magic, because you're the only one that seems skeptical here.
Three sizes too small in my heart.
Apparently.
Yeah. It's true.
I don't know. I liked it. I thought everybody did. I thought the cast was superb in this. And you know I can be picky about that kind of thing. Especially in a comedy, I get like a little like, well, I don't know. I sometimes have a hard time finding things funny, and I laughed so much at this, and I smiled the entire time. Mm-hmm. And I thought the cast was incredible. I thought the cast was very good. And I will go with you, Chris, that I thought some of the writing possibly could have been tightened up. It maybe could have used a draft if we want to get super picky about it.
We do.
But overall, I really enjoyed the movie.
All right. Okay, cool. Are you guys, these are just questions I'm posing, guys, and please jump in. Are you guys bored of the same trope of, I did something on YouTube and now we all got super famous, or something great happened because of YouTube? Hasn't that been done to death?
No.
No. Well, it's something that's familiar. It's something that's familiar that I think is just necessary for that plot point. And also one can dream.
As the YouTuber. Yes.
Matt, someone's just got to crush you with a toboggan, apparently. Teacup for one will just blow up.
Oh, it's true. That's all it takes.
Hey, it's Matt Yipchuk live from this hill in Boston. I'm having a great day. Boom. You get just jacked by a...
And I will ride a giant teacup's toboggan into you.
Yeah.
Deal.
Yes. And okay,
then,
great.
Then you're the toast.
You have to wear the same dress, though.
No problem. I will get a hold of a dress and I will put it on. And perfect. I know this is not in the movie, but if you could be holding a giant pitcher of eggnog the entire time, I think it would really, just really plus the idea, you know?
Absolutely.
I like that. With a little something in there that might help. All right. So we got to wrap this up because we're already at 25 minutes and this is a minisode. Why don't we just give little mini overviews, each of us, and maybe give us how many Santa hats out of 5. Let's start with our guest, Matt.
Okay, I'm giving it 3.5 Santa hats out of 5.
Okay.
Because I don't really disagree with any of your criticisms, because it's by no means a great movie, but it's a very fun movie.
Yes.
It's an extremely fun movie, and I agree. The cast is impeccable, and I think they're so good that it's easy to take for granted how good their performances are, especially Jillian Bell, because that kind of role, like the elf Will Ferrell style role of somebody who is an adult having to play so naive, it's so difficult to walk the line for that to not come off as inauthentic or obnoxious.
Yeah,
but true. She's so endearing and so lovely to watch. And it was also just really nice having like an entirely female driven movie, which is something that you don't see too often, which I just realized like almost three quarters of the way through the movie when they got into the watermelon carriage. So I was just like, this entire movie for the most part is just all female driven. It's like passing the Bechdel test with flying colors. I love that. And it's like a fun holiday movie. And yeah, Gary the Raccoon.
Gary the Raccoon. For me. My only complaint about Gary the Raccoon is his name. I feel like Gary is an overused name for comedy.
Yeah.
If I'm going to get picky about a comedy name, Gary, it's just been done. Okay, Gary.
Name the raccoon, Mark. What's the raccoon's new name?
Craig? Kevin?
Kevin feels overused too, buddy.
That's Kevin, you're right. Yeah. Kevin was before Gary, you're right.
How about Tito?
Tito, what were you going to say, Miriam?
I said Mike.
Mike?
I babysat a dog one time that was named Mike. And that's it a person's just made thing. Me laugh every time. It was so silly.
Yeah.
Especially Jeff. Having Mike get inside. That's dumb.
Mike, Seth.
The goal is finding the most regular name possible.
Mm-hmm.
Doug?
Right? Doug, yeah.
Tim.
Doug,
but Tim.
Tim. Tim. Hmm. Now we're just naming dude names.
Yeah, okay. Well, we got to wrap this up. So Matt, 3.5 Santa hats out of 5. That's pretty good. Yep. That's not too shabby. I'll go ahead next. I'm going to give it, 2.5. I'm not completely out on this movie. I watched it. I got all the way through it. I love Jillian Bell. I liked some of the conventions and some of the ideas were really great. I thought they just could have been funnier, better executed. I would have liked to have seen, honestly, it felt like this was a Disney approved script. And Jillian Bell didn't get an opportunity to like go loose. She's a great like comedic talent and improviser. I would have loved to let her have the Will Ferrell experience, which is what's on the paper once and then one of her own and see what we get. And I don't think she had that liberty. Maybe she's not as big enough of a star, but I would have liked to have seen more fun from her. And Isla Fisher, she's hilarious, man. I mean, watch Wedding Crashers. She's nuts in that movie. She's got some comedy
that's
too.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, I just think they could have done more. You have this amazing cast. And I think writing wise, it was very safe. But maybe that's a family Disney movie on Disney Plus. Maybe that's what they wanted. But when I saw that those two girls were in the movie, I was jacked to see it. And I was hoping for more. But it's definitely, I would say, it's worth seeing. It's better than a Hallmark movie. It's not going to blow your mind. It might not be the movie you watch every year. It's no Christmas Vacation, comedy wise. But 2.5 out of Santa hats from Bondo. How about you, Miriam?
I'm going to go 3. I'll go in between. Mm-hmm. I liked it. Probably won't watch it every year. It wasn't the worst. It was pretty, there were some parts that made me laugh, and Gary the Raccoon was great. So I'm with you. 3.
More Gary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would have liked to see more Gary. He's probably too expensive.
I would watch a spinoff of this if they gave
Gary a movie?
A Godmothered 2, like, maybe set in the summertime. Now she's the teacher or something. I would watch another one.
I would want to see Agnes and Jane Curtin on an adventure. Like,
a road trip.
That'd be great. They're cynical. Yes. And they have to go back out into the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They're jaded and that'd be funny. Or an origin story. That would be all right.
Or they have to become tooth fairies and Agnes loves it because she just loves everything.
Yeah.
And Jane Curtin's mad the whole time.
Yeah.
These are great ideas.
I love it.
Write them down, Disney. Mark, what's your rating of this film?
It's hard because I was going to say out of 5, I was going to give it a 7 or an 8, but I think Matt nailed it. I think Matt's right. It's 3.5 Santa hats. Perfect.
Yeah.
It's not, Matt, you also mentioned Elf earlier and I had that in my notes that this movie reminded me a lot of Elf. But Elf, I mean, Elf, you know, Elf's a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Elf is a 5. This is a 3.5.
Well, there you have it. Well, real quick, friends, just quick question right off the hop. Who you like better, Noelle or Godmothered?
Oh, don't make me pick. It's making you do it.
Similar conventions, guys. And I felt like Godmothered was this year's Disney Plus offering for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Noelle was last year's, and I think we're going to get one every year. Which one did you like better?
I think I liked Noelle better purely for Bill Hader.
I completely agree.
I've never seen Noelle, so I don't
know. Oh, Mark still hasn't seen Noelle. Did a review, hasn't even seen it. Hilarious. Maybe we should just review it again sometime because I was the only one involved.
I pitched it. I said we should review it this year. You didn't want to do it. So.
Nah, I didn't. Nope. But I said, but I did mention, why don't we compare it to Godmother? Because they're kind of the same. Matt, which one do you take?
I would probably go for Noel because I really loved Noel for lots of reasons that we don't have time to get into. But like, I would even be so controversial as to say I would pick Noel over Elf.
Whoa.
I know. I'm sorry. I went there. And yeah. And like Godmother to me was just a very decently executed, entertaining Disney Plus movie that I think was also a very subtle reminder that Sound of Music is on Disney Plus. So it was just entertaining to me that it was a commercial for its own platform within the original movie for the platform that you were watching it on. It was very meta. I liked that.
Yeah. I will also note this was two movies in a row that were kind of female centric, like really like focused on the female hero, female characters, which is very cool and refreshing. So I'm excited to see what they come up with next year for their Christmas jam. Keep it coming, Disney. Like, these aren't bad. They're not amazing, but we watched them. We didn't hate them. Here we are.
What great encouragement from Chris Bond. Dude, you're great. They're not amazing, but you know, keep at it.
Yeah.
You'll get there, Disney.
Three and a half hats. I paid for my subscription. I'm still here. You got my money. All right, this is a long one, friends. Hey, this is the last one of the 12 days, 11 days of Christmas before we get into Christmas Eve. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was a delight, and it's so great to hear the jingle dogs in person.
Dude, yeah. The jingle cats were pretty good, too, but I didn't bother getting
the jingle cats, I freaked out. But, like, just even seeing the jingle dogs live is a treat that I never expected. It's a Christmas miracle.
Buddy, it's a Christmas miracle. We're happy to share it with you. Where can we find you, Matt?
You can find me on the Instagram at YipChuck, Y-I-P-C-H-U-C-K. Or on Facebook as well as YouTube at Teacup41, as in you're drinking tea by yourself.
Go check out Matt. Check out his new YouTube, Scrooge. It's super fun. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm telling you, I know it's going to be super fun. I'm going to check it out tonight, too. Check him out. Matt, thanks again. 12 days of Christmas. Keep us right on your dial. We're going to be here tomorrow with Christmas Eve. Yes. Can't wait to open some presents. Oh my goodness. Guys, Merry Christmas. We'll see you tomorrow.
Podcast.
Just faded out the dogs. I got to bring them back up now. All right. Okay, they're going away.